Speakers who have challenged you for years come to you now on the series The Chapel Platform, originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. These servants of God, presented on the Chapel Platform, have delivered biblical truth to help prepare Christians to serve the Lord. Do you realize that hell is a reality as well as heaven? Listen now as we are challenged to live in obedience to God and to seek the lost sinner and win them to the realization that he or she can know the God that loves them and has provided promises in his word to that reality. Service in the Lord is real, and he can use us to his glory no matter where we're witnessing. Here now is Dr. Donald Sisk, President and General Director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated, otherwise known as BIMI, of Chattanooga, Tennessee. He gave this message during Missions Emphasis Week at the university on Tuesday, October 10, 1989. His text is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. His message of challenge to reliance on God's provision to serve him is titled, God's Unfailing Promise Regarding Missions.
It's a great privilege once again this morning to be with you here in the student chapel. Please open your Bibles with me today, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. And the Bible says this, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The simple statement. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. The Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant word of God. We do not question that. We do not doubt it. We simply believe it. And thus, this is a great statement. Of all of the promises that God has given, the Bible says of itself and of God, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. Dr. Hubert Lockyer, who has written many books about the Bible, has written a book called All of the Promises of the Bible. And in that book, Dr. Lockyer mentions that in the Bible, there are 7,487 promises that God has given to man. Now, that's a lot of promises. If you read your Bible through in 1 year, that will mean that you'll find an average of 20 promises every day. That'll be enough promises to keep you going. I often hear people praying for faith, and they say, God, increase my faith. And I'm not sure what they expect God to do. Maybe open up their heart or their head and pour in some faith. And yet God has given us a means whereby our faith can be increased. And the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith to be increased, then you get more of the Word of God in your head and in your heart, and your faith will be increased. But think about it. 7,487 promises that God has made to man. Now you can relax. I'm not going to preach on all of those promises this morning. That'd be a long sermon, would it not? Point number 7,481. Can you imagine? I'm sure all of you would be gone home, gone crazy, gone somewhere by that time. I heard about one preacher that preached so long one time that everybody in the congregation got up and left but one man. And when he finished preaching, he went down to that one man and he nearly had to wake him up. But he said to him, Sir, you are a man of real integrity. Everybody else left, but you stayed to the very end. And I want you to know I appreciate it. And that fellow looked up at him and said, Well, I couldn't leave. I'm the next speaker. So since there's not another speaker after me, I'll be sure not to preach all of these promises. But I want you to think with me this morning about the simple subject of some pertinent promises pertaining to worldwide evangelization. Some pertinent promises pertaining to worldwide evangelization. Now, the Bible says there has not failed one word of all His good promise. Every promise that God has made has been or will be literally fulfilled. Now think with me about some pertinent promises pertaining to missions. Promise number one. God has promised eternal life to every believer. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a great promise. God so loved the world. God loves everyone in the world. And everybody in the world can be saved. There's 5.1 billion people on planet Earth today, and the Lord Jesus Christ died for every one of them. For He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. And I believe from the depth of my heart, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed His rich red royal blood on Calvary's tree, that He died for the sins of every man that would ever live, and because of that, all men everywhere can be saved. Now that puts a great responsibility upon you and I. The only way they're going to be saved is that they hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A theologian told me one time, you should not use that in soul winning. That does not apply to lost people. I said, I'm sorry, you got to me too late. I've already gotten a lot of people saved with it. Amen. But I'm not going to quit using it. It does apply to lost people. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Jesus died for the sins of all men. The gospel is this, that Jesus died for sinners, that He was buried, that He was resurrected from the grave. But it is not good news until people hear it. And they must hear it. Oh, the wonderful promise. God has promised eternal life to every believer. I'm glad He did not promise life for a day or a week or a month until we did something wrong, but eternal life. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, for my Father which giveth me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." God has given eternal life. God has promised eternal life to every believer. Therefore, it is our responsibility as born-again believers to get the gospel out to every creature on the face of the earth. God has promised eternal damnation to every unbeliever. And the wicked shall be cast into hell with all nations that forget God. They that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If we are not careful in our age, we will hear so much teaching about the no-hell theology that we will begin to believe it. Years ago, I read an article in Time magazine. The title of the article was, "Hell is Cooling Off." The essence of the article was this. Years ago, preachers went up and down the country preaching on hell, but you don't hear much about hell anymore. So, according to them, hell is cooling off. But may I say to you today, if the devil should stop the mouth of every preacher and never another preacher would ever one more time preach about hell, hell would not cool off one bit. I often hear people say, "The Bible says it and I believe it and that settles it." And that sounds so good and yet it's so foolish. The Bible says it and it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. It's settled anyway. You say, many people today do not believe in hell. That does not change the Bible one bit. God has promised eternal hell to every unbeliever. That's a part of the Word of God, just as is John 3:16. If one believer ever missed heaven and went to hell, God would have to break His promise, but perish the thought, He'll never do it. If one unbeliever ever missed hell, God would have to break His promise. And my dear friend, God will not, God cannot break His promise. There has not failed one word of all His good promise. The third promise. God has promised eternal provisions for every obedient child of God. Take your Bibles and turn them with me for just a moment, if you would, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's a great statement from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be over anxious. Don't be worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and where you're going to live and how you're going to make out. For after all these things do the Gentiles, are they heathen, people that don't know God. That's the things they're seeking, He says. And then He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Every temporal need that you have, God the Father knows all about that need. Praise God, He's able to take care of that need. But He says, rather than doing that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, what a promise. God has promised eternal provisions. Everything that you'll ever need to the obedient child of God. Let me paraphrase verse 33 for you. Look at it very carefully. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You take care of God's business. You take care of God's business. And all these things shall be added unto you. And God will take care of your business. Hey, that's a great promise, amen? Think about it. The eternal God, the omnipotent God, the sovereign God says to any believer, I'll make a bargain with you. If you'll take care of my business all of your life, I'll take care of your business. And you won't have to worry about things. I promise you, I'll take care of you. All you've got to do is take care of my business. What's your business? For every born-again child of God, your business is taking care of God's business. I heard about an old evangelist, Sam Jones, on a train one day. He was eating in the dining car and he asked a lady, ma'am, do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Do you know you're going to heaven? And the lady became very angry. She got up, went back to her seat and said to her husband, who was a physician, there's a red-headed preacher down there and he had the audacity to ask me if I was sure I was a Christian and going to heaven. Later, both she and her husband got saved, and they told this story. And her husband said to her, why didn't you tell the fellow to mind his own business? And she said, you know, by looking at him, I think that's what he was doing. What's your business? Your business is to take care of God's business. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have you ever had the imagination to dream that somebody would write you a blank check? Now, I'm not talking about somebody like me. That wouldn't help you a lot. I'm talking about some millionaire or billionaire. just writing you a blank check, pay to the order of whatever your name is, and then leave the amount blank, and they sign their name, and they're a billionaire or a millionaire. How much would you make that check out for? I began pastoring in 1956. First Christmas came, and a lady, Mrs. James Bruce, came to my wife and I, and they said to my wife first, Miss Sisk, you and Brother Sisk go to Jordan Furniture Company, and you pick you out something and put it on our account, and we'll pay for it. That'll be our Christmas present to you and Brother Sisk. So we tried to get her to tell us how much money to spend, but she wouldn't do that. We went to Jordan Furniture Company. She said, buy anything you want, buy anything you need. And we went there, and we were students in Bible college at that time, so we needed everything we saw. We didn't have anything. So we looked at refrigerators and thought that would be better than the icebox we have. We looked at nice new couches and carpets and so forth. And after about an hour and a half, 2 hours shopping, we left the furniture store that day, and we were carrying our purchase. It was a little magazine rack. It cost $5.95. Now, that was in 1956. I still have that magazine rack. It's a trophy. It is a trophy of my stupidity. I could have had anything in that furniture store, and I left with a $5.95 magazine rack. And every time I see that thing, I think, you don't have to be a $5.95 Christian. You don't have to be a $5.95 preacher. You don't have to be a $5.95 missionary. We have the unlimited resources of Almighty God. And God says, if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. So many times we sat in Bible school, we sat in universities, we sat in seminaries, and we see people that have been used of God, and we say, oh yes, they can get up and tell us that you can be used of God, but they don't know what we're going through, and they've never been where I am, and they didn't have the battles, and they weren't reared the way I was reared, and on we could go. But wait a minute. There's no one in this congregation this morning that cannot claim Matthew 6:33. This is not written to a few specially blessed people. This is written to everyone. Every born-again child of God. You take care of God's business. God will take care of you. I was saved when I was 16 years old. In fact, I was saved on the second Saturday night in October in 1949, 40 years ago. When I was 21 years old, a member of a Baptist church up in Gary, Indiana, I felt God's call to preach the gospel. My wife, Virginia, and I moved back to Kentucky and went to school. We look back over those years, how God wonderfully provided for us. My dad was a coal miner. My dad went to work in the coal mines when he was 14 years old, never had the opportunity to go to school one day in his entire life. And we watched God wonderfully provide for us, providing a church to pastor as soon as we started Bible school. And then as God led us into the mission fields, and I look back over some 35 years in the ministry and think how this promise is so true. God will provide. I think of going to Japan and being scared to death to start studying Japanese. The thing that scared me more than anything about going to Japan was trying to learn the Japanese language. And when I got to Japan and began to study, I knew that all of my fears were justified. I mean, it was just as hard as I'd ever dreamed it would be. I can still remember laboring through the first sermon I tried to preach in Japanese and having a dear Christian pray after the message, "Dear Lord, we love and appreciate Brother Sis, but we didn't understand anything he said. And that's funny today, but it wasn't funny that night. And I went home that night and prayed and cried all night and reminded God that it wasn't my idea to come to Japan. But I remember when God began to give us souls there in Japan. Precious souls began to be saved. I remember an old man, 76 years old one night, that the very first time he heard the gospel, his name was Kitanaka, and he'd never heard the gospel in all of his life. And this is so unusual, but thank God he gave me that experience. The very first time he heard the gospel, he bowed his head and asked Jesus to be his Savior. The last time I saw him, he was bowing to me. And he was saying, thank you for coming and telling us about Jesus. The next thing I heard from him, his pastor wrote a letter and said, Brother C.S., the old G-san went to heaven the other day. And as I read that letter, I thought, I'll never see the old G-san on this earth again. And I can still remember him bowing. And I thought, the next time I see him, we'll be in heaven and he'll be bowing. And we may bow for 1,000 years. Amen. And I remember how God wonderfully provided for rent for buildings and then provided for buildings for us to have our Bible school there in Kansai Independent Baptist Bible School in Akashi, Japan. I shall never forget the first night we started the Cindy Newtown Baptist Church, first service we'd ever had there. We had prayed and fasted that God would give power and give souls, and I stood out in front of the building watching the people as they began to come. And it wasn't long before the little room of about 45 that would hold about 45 people was filled up. And that's a miracle that many people would come to one service, the first service you had in Japan. The people began to come, and one young fellow came and he said, I want you to know I don't have any interest in Christianity. I'm an English major. I'm working on my master's degree. I wanted to come tonight to practice my English. And as I listened to that, I thought, boy, you and I both are in trouble. Number one, I didn't come all the way to Japan so somebody could practice English. Number two, my English is nothing for anyone to practice on. But I gave the invitation that night after preaching a very simple gospel message, and 11 people came forward to trust Christ as their Savior. And among the people who came forward was this young man. And he said, his name is Sogoro Ogawa. He said, that's the first time I've ever heard that story. I didn't know anything about it, but I think I'd like to be a Christian. And today, Sogoro Ogawa was one of the most influential Baptist preachers and influential preachers in the whole country of Japan. His church averages better than 300 adults every Sunday. And that's a miracle in Japan. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Why tell us all of this? Simply to say this. God will use anybody. You don't have to be something special to be used of God. All you've got to do is believe God's promises. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There has not failed one word of all His good promises. There are literally hundreds of thousands of cities and islands and villages scattered all around the world tonight that does not have one gospel witness. 3/5 of the people in the world tonight, 3/5 of the 5 billion people on the earth, has never had a clear presentation of the gospel message. And we have the great promises of God. There has not failed one word of all His good promises. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, every head is bowed and every eye closed. Think with me for just a moment again. There has not failed one word of all His good promise. If perchance you had come to this place and never personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now you ought to say, "Dear Lord, I claim that promise of eternal life. I want you to come into my heart and be my Savior." I'm often reminded of the little statement, God doesn't have any children. God doesn't have any grandchildren, just children. Nobody is saved because of what their parents did. Salvation is a personal experience between you and God. If you have never personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should do that this very moment. Dear Lord, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Now listen, just before we pray, whether you be a business major, whether you be in pre-law or pre-med, or you be in the school of religion, or whatever your course of study may be, I wonder how many people in this congregation this morning would say, "Brother Sisk, I want my business to be God's business." I wonder how many would say this morning, "I'm going to promise you and I'm going to promise God that I'm going to spend the rest of my life as best I can taking care of God's business. I want to claim that promise." And this morning, if God should want me on the mission field, wherever God wants me to go, whatever God wants me to do, I'm saying today I'm willing to do it. I'm simply saying this, that from this moment in my life, I want God's business to be my number one priority. By the grace of God, I'm going to take care of God's business. If that's your real decision, if that would be your commitment this morning, I wonder if you'd just stand to your feet and let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Lord, you have commanded us in the Bible, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, Lord, here in this auditorium this morning, there's some 5,000 people that have stood to their feet and said, "From this moment in my life, I want my number one priority to be to take care of God's business. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Lord, these are people that are said, "I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything and be anything you want me to be." Lord, I pray you'll call many of them. I pray you'll direct many of them to fields around the world today that do not have a gospel witness. Help us not to waste our life taking care of little temporal, materialistic things, but to invest our life in eternal spiritual matters. And Lord, we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. Copies of today's message are available, so please write us and send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, and the zip code is 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Donald Sisk, the message titled God's Unfailing Promise Regarding Missions, and also be sure to mention today's date. Please join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.